ते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 71 एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड ट्रैवल्स टू इंद्रप्रस्थ एंड टेक्स्ट 9 एंड 10। सो वील बी रीडिंग द टेक्स्ट 9।
गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राजनाम स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राजनाम स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राजनाम स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राज्ञां स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राज्ञां स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राज्ञां स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपते जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च।
माताजी,
गायन्ति ते विशदकर्म गृहेषु देव्यो राज्ञां स्वशत्रुवधमात्मविमोक्षनम् च गोप्यश्च कुञ्जरपतेर्जनकात्मजाय पित्रोश्च लब्धशरणामुनयो वयम् च।
सो वट् टु वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्स्? गायन्ति दे सिङ्ग्, te, your, vishada, spotless, karma, deeds, griheshu, in their homes, devyaha, the godly wives, rajnam, of the kings, sva, of their, shatru, enemy, vadham, the killing, atma, of themselves, vimokshanam, the deliverance, cha, and gopyaha, the cowherd girls of Vraja, cha, and kunjara, of the elephants, pate, of the lord, janaka, of king Janaka, atmajayaha, of the daughter Sita Devi, the wife of Lord Ramachandra, pitraha, of your parents, cha, and labdha, who have attained, sharanaha, shelter, munayaha, sages, vayam, we, cha, also. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In their homes, the godly wives of the imprisoned kings sing of your noble deeds, about how you will kill their husbands, enemy, and deliver them. The gopis also sing your glories, how you killed the enemy of the elephant king, Gajendra, the enemy of Sita, daughter of Janaka, and the enemies of your own parents as well. So also do the sages who have obtained your shelter glorify you, as do we ourselves. Purport. Great sages and devotees had informed the grief-stricken wives of the imprisoned kings that Lord Krishna would arrange for the killing of Jarasandha and would thus save them from their crisis. These godly women would thus sing the glories of the Lord at home, and when their children would cry for their fathers, their mothers would tell them, "Child, do not cry. Shri Krishna will save your father. In fact, the Lord has saved many devotees in the past as described here." So we'll just read the 10th shloka's translation and purport. Translation. O Krishna, the killing of Jarasandha, which is certainly a reaction of his past sins, will bring immense benefit. Indeed, it will make possible the sacrificial ceremony you desire. Purport. Sridhar Swami explains that the word Bhuri Artha, immense benefit, signifies that with the death of Jarasandha, it will become easy to kill the demon Shishupal and to realize other objectives. The great commentator Sridhar Swami further explains that the term Paka indicates that the kings will be saved as a result of their piety, and that the term Vipakena indicates that Jarasandha will die as a result of his wickedness. In either case, the plan Uddhava as proposed is most favorable for the execution of the great Rajasuya sacrifice, desired by both the Lord and his pure devotees, the Pandavas, headed by King Yudhishthira. Om Ajnana Timirandasa Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Maha Madanyaya Krishna Prema Badayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratyase Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. Although unqualified, I have been given this service of sitting here in the Vyasasana and to speak on this most elevated subject, Srimad Bhagavatam. And what to speak of the 10th canto, totally unqualified to speak. But as a service, I would like to, I will try to speak something. But I need the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something meaningful. Thank you very much. So, a wonderful episode which is going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, I was given the shloka 10, but I recited 9th also. Mainly, I will be speaking on the verse 10th. So, in this verse, from this pastime of Jarasan, we'll try to, you know, take out some of the important messages that will be beneficial to all of us also. So, one of the qualities Krishna displayed here in this particular pastime is the quality of asking for opinion from others. It is very difficult to ask opinion from others, you know. What is your opinion? Mostly we have the tendency to keep our opinions and then tell that you have to follow this. So it's very difficult to, you know, ask for opinions. The culture of taking consultation from others, which is very rare to see in this age of Kali Yuga especially. But here we can learn Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is taking advice from his subordinate. In one sense, he is the devotee of Krishna, Uddhava. So we can see how it is important to take consultation from others. But there is a condition. So we should also know from whom we should take the consultation. He should also be a qualified person. We cannot take consultation from any person, you know. Especially in today's age, people are accustomed to give their own opinions, especially on Facebook, WhatsApp. You know, everyone wants to give his opinion, whether he is qualified or not, but people give opinions and it becomes a rumor and a matter of discussion. So in one of the episodes from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, their 19th chapter, there is a similar thing which is mentioned, where Parikshit Maharaj, after having been cursed, he goes to the bank of the river, and there he is in front of the assembled sage, he is begging their mercy. So he says, although the king had already decided to fast until death, he humbly expressed the decision to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. So before he actually act on anything, he was trying to take the blessings of the assembled sages there. He wanted to know their opinion before actually acting on that. Any decision, Prabhupada says, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the whole matter perfect. Otherwise, there is a chance of defect. So this means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days, they were not irresponsible dictators. They know from where should we take the guidance. So that is an important lesson we can learn from this particular aspect of this pastime. There is one more mention, in one more place it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3rd and 14th chapter. So Kashyap Muni, he is speaking to Diti. So he is telling, my dear Diti, because you have disrespected Lord Shiva, and because you have disregarded my instructions, and because you have disregarded the Shastras, and also you are lusty, the decision made without an approval is going to be disastrous. So we can see that Diti, she could not able to follow these four things. You know, respecting Lord Shiva, disregarding the instructions of one husband, and also Shastras. So it is said that the opinion one should make should be conformed to these three things, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then it makes the whole thing perfect. I remember during my school days, I used to read a small book. The name of the book was Wisdom. So it is mentioned, when I was working in my office, one of my colleagues, he was asking one question to me. I was very new at that time to Krishna consciousness. So he asked me, what is the problem with Jarasandh? So he's a nice king. Why Krishna wanted to kill him? So as I was very new at the time, I could not able to answer him. But now when I was reading about this past time, I could able to understand the depth of this particular aspect. So here in this verse, Uddhava says, death of Jarasandh will bring immense benefit to all. So it will create an auspiciousness for everyone. So why such a statement is made by Uddhava here? So let us try to see some of the characteristics or nature of Jarasandh. Why such a thing has been spoken here? The death of Jarasandh would bring immense benefit to everyone. The first thing I would like to mention, Jarasandh's enmity toward Krishna started when Kamsa got killed. So his two wives, Asti and Prapti, so they went to Jarasandh, their father, and they started explaining to them, you know, how our husband was so nice, he was a noble person, you know, but he got killed by these two rogues, Krishna and Balaram. So they were trying to give some explanation and trying to show that how good their husband was. So when he heard this, Jarasandh, he became very angry. And at that time he took a vow that I will avenge these two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. Not only that, I will annihilate the whole Yadava race also. So here we can see how Jarasandh, without actually going into detail, he himself was a rogue. So that's why he made an alliance with Kamsa. So he became so angry upon this and he wanted to take revenge with Krishna and Balaram. So this was completely based on bodily concept of life. My daughters. So if they are hurt, then I am going to punish these people. So that was his thing. So here we can see it was personal agenda, no concern for his citizens. He was not concerned about establishing dharma, he was concerned about his own personal agenda. I want to take revenge from Krishna, Balaram and whole Yadava race. So we can also see some other examples from the history. Example of Alexander. So Alexander, he was a powerful king. He was going on conquering nations after nations. And all his soldiers who were, you know, supporting him, they became so tired. And we want to go back to home. We want a peaceful life. But still they were trying to follow him because of his, you know, courage and valor. So we can see Alexander was trying to conquer the nations, but he was not concerned about the welfare of his own army, his own citizens. So that is a personal agenda, trying to fulfill his own personal agenda, like that of Jarasandh here. And we can also see our neighboring countries who are trying to disturb us by always, you know, propagating terrorism at the border. So, but we can see in their own country, people are worried about their own living standards. People are not having proper food to eat also, isn't it? But they were concerned about propagating terrorism, feeling of insecurity actually. So better to focus on our own, you know, thing, like how we can improve our own standards rather than, you know, just following our vengeful heart, trying to take revenge from others. And when someone is so obsessed about this fact, you know, I want to take revenge, it's very difficult to give him good counsel, isn't it? Example is there in Srimad Bhagavatam also, where Angira Muni, when he goes to meet Chitraketu Maharaj, so Angira Muni knows the problem of Chitraketu Maharaj, but Chitraketu Maharaj was so obsessed with the fact that, you know, I want a son, so he could not able to see any other things. So good counsel, good instruction was not penetrating into his heart. So he just wanted a son. So this is one example where, you know, when a person is so obsessed, it is difficult to give him good counsel. We also have an example of Ravana. So Vibhishan, always he tried to give good counsel to him, but he never took it, because he was also obsessed with the fact that I should enjoy with Mother Sita. It's very difficult. Same was the case with Jarasandh also. So Jarasandh, he was actually surrounded by all the foolish people similar to him, all the rogues. So this is one thing, like he was having revengeful heart, very difficult. The second point, he wanted to become a monarch. He wanted to rule over the world by the dint of his prowess with no personal character. It is said that the best of the demons, they have these two qualities. What is that? They are highly competent and they are also highly enthusiastic about what they are doing. But one thing which they lack is character. No character, but high competency and high attitude, high enthusiasm. While devotee of the Lord, they have this additional feature of they are also having a good character. So imagine if such a person like Jarasandh, he becomes the ruler of the country. So what will happen to such a place? So that's why we see Lord Krishna has descended only to establish religious principles, to establish Varnashram Dharma. So it is necessary for to kill this demon Jarasandh. The third aspect we could see is, although externally we see that he was respecting Brahmanas and would give profuse charity, but that was all to get more and more power so that he can kill Krishna. So he was giving a lot of charity to Brahmanas, respecting Brahmanas, but the agenda was so that I can get more power so that I can kill Krishna. So this kind of charity is in the mode of ignorance. So we also see one more example from Mahabharata, example of Karna. I heard this from our Govind Prabhu. Like, he also used to give a lot of charity, but there was a condition, there was an agenda behind that. What was that? He wanted to give charity to the Brahmanas till the time he can kill Arjuna. That was the agenda behind that. It was not out of love or compassion for others that he was giving charity. So again, this is the charity in the mode of ignorance. So we can see, although superficially, we also see these kind of people in today's world. You know, externally they make a show of being a good person. But when you just peep into their lives, look into their lives deeply, then we can understand what is the real agenda behind everything. And the fourth aspect is, Jarasandh made captive thousands of innocent princes, you know, wanting to give their bali, their sacrifice to Lord Bhairav. So we can see here he is displaying his merciless character. Merciless character. He doesn't have any daya for human beings also. So we see two kinds of devas in this world. Bhudeva and Nardeva. Bhudeva, they are the brahmanas, and Nardeva, they are the kings, the representative of the Lord. Suppose he becomes the monarch of this world. So imagine what will happen. You know, he is known for killing human beings, you know, giving their bali to Lord Shiva. So that is why everyone was desiring the death of Jarasandh. And one of the last aspect I thought is, he was very proud of his immense strength, very powerful. 10,000 elephants strength he was having. And it is said that when he attacked Krishna and Balram for the 18th time, at that time he amassed a large army, which was like ocean, very difficult to penetrate through it, very difficult to conquer Jarasandh. So then Krishna, knowing well that, you know, it is of no use to, you know, fight and unnecessarily create a lot of bloodshed, he decided to move all the residents of Mathura to Dwarka. Actually, Krishna, I heard from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he said that Krishna, actually, he doesn't want the Brajavasis and the citizens of Mathura to get disturbed by the again and again attacks of Jarasandh. So that's why he moved to Dwarka. So he wanted the peace. While we see some of the country, they are not interested in peace. They are only interested in wars, just trying to fulfill their egoistic agendas. So that's why here Uddhava is telling, he is telling that, you know, by the death of such a person like Jarasandh, there will be an immense benefit for everyone. There will be auspiciousness all over. So here, a death of a demoniac person like Jarasandh is appreciated by all the wise people, appreciated by all the Vaishnavas. We have similar examples from some scriptures, one from Srimad Bhagavatam. Story of King Vena. You know, His father, King Anga, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he was actually the descendant of Dhruva Maharaj and Uttanapad, directly coming from the Swayambhu Manu dynasty. So he was the devotee of the Lord. He was always concerned about the welfare of all the citizens. So he was a perfect leader, perfect king. So at one point of time, he was performing a sacrifice. So kings, they were used to perform sacrifice for the welfare of the citizens. So one time he was performing a sacrifice. And he saw that at the end of the sacrifice, none of the demigods came to take their share from the sacrifice. So he became very worried and concerned. What's happening? So then he consulted the priest and the brahmanas and asked them, why it is happening like this? Why the demigods are not coming and taking their share? So then he said, I remember I did not commit any kind of sin. So what is the reason behind this? So then the brahmanas told him, because you don't have a son, so that was the problem. So they are not coming to take the share. So then again he performed another sacrifice to please Lord Vishnu. And then after the performance of the yajna, a divine personality came from the yajna with payasam in the hand and delivered it to King Anga. And when he gave this payasam to his wife, so he got a child. He was Vena. So it is very astonishing that although he was a son of a very devoted king, but he was a very unusual child. Vena himself, he was a very unusual child. Right from his childhood, he was so demoniac, very ruthless in his behavior. So while playing with other children, you know, he would gather people and round them up and eventually kill them all. So that was his childhood pastimes, King Vena. So right from his childhood, he was such a rascal. So Anga, he tried to discipline his son in so many ways. The more he tried to discipline him, the more he was becoming more and more mischievous and ruthless. Chanakya Pandit says, there are four kinds of enemies in the family. If a father is a debtor and he dies, then such a father is an enemy. And if a mother takes another husband before their children, such a mother is also an enemy. And a beautiful wife, she is also an enemy. And if a son is a fool or a rascal, he is also an enemy. So we can see he certainly, Vena was a fool and rascal. So he was an enemy actually to King Anga. So finally Anga, he thought that it is very difficult to correct this son. So he became so disappointed, so worried. So he thought of leaving everything and go to forest on the path of self-realization. So he leaves home. And when there is no king, so there is a chaos in the kingdom. So the rogues and thieves, they were trying to loot everything. The whole administration was disturbed in the kingdom. And then finally, the brahmanas, they came together and they thought that we should make Vena as the king. There should be some king. And then King Vena was made the king. But Vena, as he was a ruthless person himself, so when the power came, he became even more, ruthless. So, giving power to such a person can also be disastrous. We have an example of Mahabharata also, from Mahabharata. When Duryodhana was born, so there were so many bad omens in the sky. So Vidura understood that this child is a very dangerous child. He should be immediately abandoned. He should not be given place in the palace. So then, even after such a good instruction given by Vidura, no one followed actually. And we can see when such a person, when he came into power, so what a big havoc he created after that. So better to minimize at the initial level. So we can see the same thing was happening with Vena also. So he became very, very ruthless. And he ordered all the brahmanas to stop performing sacrifices, stop worshipping the demigods, then killing the cows and everything. So he was creating a great destruction in his own kingdom. People were in constant anxiety. So finally the brahmanas came to him and appealed to him, my dear king, please, you are a very powerful person, but you are misusing your power. try to save the citizens, try to care for the welfare of the citizens. But that was of no use. The appeal did not, you know, transform the heart of Vena. And then we see finally what happened. Vena was killed by the Brahmanas only. By chanting of the powerful mantras, they killed him. And then I will not go into detail of the story. We can see how then by churning the thighs and arms of Vena, Prithu Maharaj came from the arms. And then there was auspiciousness all over. So by the death of such a person, so it is a matter of celebration. And there will be auspiciousness after that also. And in Bhagavatam, there is one more instance where Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu gets killed, so he says, Modeta Sadurapi Vachika Sarpa Hatya. So by killing of a serpent or a scorpion, even the great personalities, Vaishnavas, they all celebrate. So generally a Vaishnava does not celebrate a death of any person, not even the animals. But when a person like Hiranyakashipu is died, so on his death there is a celebration. People celebrate such a revocation. So there is one more example from the past, from the past times of Srila Prabhupada. Mr. N was creating a lot of trouble in Radharas Vihara temple, ISKCON Juhu. So we can see on the death of such a personality, Prabhupada was so happy. They actually celebrated his death. You know. So after his death, there was so much of auspiciousness. Everything was settled. Everything was going on proper after that. So here that's why Uddhava is mentioning, by killing Jarasandha, there will be immense benefit to everyone in the society. There will be auspiciousness all around because of so many reasons that we have discussed. And there is one more theme that is mentioned in this particular verse. It speaks about paka vipake, you know. That is, Jarasandha is such a sinful person. So certainly he is going to reap for his sinful deeds. Certainly he will die because of his sinful activities. And on the other hand, all the princes who were captivated by him, because of their pious activities, certainly they will be saved. But proper understanding of this philosophy is very much required. For example, you know, some may take only, you know, Krishna will take care, you know, if something is happening bad, Krishna will take care. And we sit silent. We don't do anything about it. No. So the episode itself says that although Jarasandha was a sinful person, definitely he will reap the, you know, for his deeds. But still, they were acting on that. Krishna was not sitting silent. He was doing something about it. He consulted Uddhava and they made a proper plan on how to kill Jarasandha. So that is our part that we should do. Anyway, the result is in the hands of Krishna. We should not, as our last prerna title, do the best and leave the rest. So whatever is there in our hand, we should do, and certainly Krishna will take care of the result also. As the biblical saying goes, as you sow, so shall you reap. So Krishna, he's showing a quality of a leader here. The quality of a leader is, whenever there is some problem in the society, he should correct it. He should not just sit silently. In order to reduce the level of adharma, Krishna has to visibly establish laws by punishing the miscreants also. So in order, not punishing the criminal is the greater crime than the crime itself. Not punishing the criminal is the greater crime than the crime itself. So Krishna, the leader of the society, has to take a lead into this. So this is the characteristic of a leader which Krishna is trying to show here. Yad yad acharati shrestha tatta devetaro janaha. So that everyone should follow the example of Krishna eventually. And we see the killing of Jarasandha is required. Why? Because it was one of the biggest obstacle on the path of performing Rajasvi Yagya by Yudhishthir Maharaj. So we can see from the lives of Pandavas, at many instances they could able to get rid of so many obstacles in their lives by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of his devotees. So many examples, I need not have to tell, but few of them, like Krishna saved them from the wrath of Durvasa Muni. So they were so helpless in that situation, they didn't know what to do. they just prayed to Krishna and everything was taken care. In the Mahabharata war, Arjuna was saved so many times by Krishna. So many were trying to kill Arjuna, and Krishna miraculously saved him from many enemies. Example of killing of Jayadrath. So it was so difficult to kill Jayadrath, but that was possible only by intervention of Krishna, by the guidance of Krishna. And eventually Krishna also saved Arjuna from his illusion, to overcome his illusion by giving Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita also. Similarly, there will be so many obstacles in the path of Sankirtan movement also, and in our own Krishna conscious life. So one instance from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chand Kazi, he was trying to create obstacles in the Sankirtan movement performed by the devotees, isn't it? So Chand Kazi and his men, they were actually breaking the mridangas, you know, hurting the devotees by stopping their Sankirtan Yajna. So what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did? He performed the first non-cooperation movement, you know, and then there was a huge rally that, you know, headed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu to go and have a dialogue with Chand Kazi. So there was a long conversation that took place, and eventually Mahaprabhu established the authenticity of performing Sankirtan Yajna. And we can see how they all stood to fight against this. They were not simply silent. And one more instance from the life of Srila Prabhupada. So one time some people, they lodged a case against ISKCON, saying that ISKCON is a cult. And the matter went into court also. So then Prabhupada just instructed his disciples, just go to the court and give evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam. Just go on reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. So every day they were reading Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 1, you know, first verse, second verse. And this happened for many days. And the judge was bewildered. They have so much of evidence. What to do? So then eventually he consulted his friend, who was a theologist, and he consulted him, what is your opinion about ISKCON? What kind of people are they? So the friend, he said to this judge, they are very nice people. It's a bona fide religion. So then the next day the judge came and he announced, ISKCON is not a cult. So you can continue with your things. So whenever there was an objection, there was an obstacle on the path of Sankirtan Yajna, so there was equal response from the devotees also, you know, trying to get rid of that. And at an individual level, there will be a lot of obstacles in the path of our Krishna consciousness also. So, for example, most of us, we cannot go out and wage wars. You know, we cannot participate in that kind of things. But certainly there are some things we can do for the establishment of dharma. For example, we can explain and present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a proper way, so that a simple person can also understand. So devotees, they have challenges against the propaganda. Many years ago and recently also, so there were movies like OMG and PK, where, you know, they were trying to show how the Vedic religion is not proper. But many of our devotees, they have replied in a proper way, through dramas, through proper articles also. So at an individual level also, we can do so many things. By distributing Srila Prabhupada books, this is the month of marathon going to come, December. So by spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so we can also try to reduce or minimize the level of adharma which is prevalent all around. So finally, for our benefit, we have to kill the Jarasandha-like tendencies which we have discussed in the starting of this class by focusing on the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy and trying to perform the Krishna conscious activities in a proper attitude. Focusing on the essence and then practicing it in a proper attitude. So, I remember, I was telling about this thing before. I remember during my school time, when I was studying in school, I used to read a small book called Wisdom. The title of this book was Wisdom. I don't know if it is still available, but I still remember. I read during my 7th, 8th standard maybe, but I still remember this particular statement from that book. It says, it is not how much you eat that makes you strong, it is how much you digest that makes you strong. It further goes on, it is not how much you earn that makes you rich, it is how much you save that makes you rich. The third is, it is not how much you read that makes you knowledgeable, it is how much you remember and assimilate that makes you knowledgeable. So from these three statements we can understand, it speaks about focusing on the essence, not on the superficial aspects of life. Similarly, if we also look out for superficial things in our life, so we don't get anything. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj often quotes this particular story. So if someone is swimming, is on the surface of the ocean or sea, so he will not get anything. He has to dive deep into the ocean in order to get pearls and diamonds. So looking for the essence and also acting on it in a proper attitude. So I would like to discuss something finally from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where in the Madhya Leela chapter 8, there is a conversation between Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this particular pastime, Mahaprabhu, he is trying to derive the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy by asking several questions to Ramananda Raya. So there are among 8 to 12 different questions asked by Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Raya wonderfully answers to all these questions. So first question was, the Lord inquired, I thought I will read the original text, but I don't think I will be able to complete if I read the text, but I'll just read the translation. So Mahaprabhu inquires, of all types of education, which is the most important? So Ramananda Raya replies, no education is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna. So in this particular statements that we are going through, so we can see the essence of our philosophy on which we can actually act and perfect our lives. So education is, the most important education is the transcendental devotional service of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu continues further and asks, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Ramananda Raya replies, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. So we can see in this world many people are trying to get recognized by everyone. Recognition. So here it says we should, the highest of all recognitions is to be recognized by Krishna. Isn't it? And Mahaprabhu further goes on, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? Ramananda Raya replies, he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. So who is the wealthiest person? Who has the love for Radha and Krishna. So he is the most richest person in the world. Mahaprabhu further asks, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? So Ramananda Raya replies, apart from separation from the devotees of Krishna, I know of no unbearable happiness. So separation from devotee is what one should fearful of. I remember Radhanath Swami Maharaj quoting the example of Ladini Mataji. What is that one thing which you are most afraid of? And she said, separation from devotees. That is because if we get separated from devotees, then there is no hope for many of us to continue our Krishna conscious life. So this is the most important element. Mahaprabhu further asks, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Raya replies, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Mahaprabhu further goes and asks, among many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of the living entity? So he replies, that song describing the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. And Mahaprabhu further asks, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? the best activity for the living entity? So Ramananda Rai replies, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. So association with the devotees of Krishna means just not merely associating them, but trying to perform all the different Krishna conscious activities in the association of devotees. Like many of us do that, chanting in the association of devotees, honoring prasad, dancing in kirtan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, many such things. And Mahaprabhu further asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? The answer was, the chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy names, qualities and pastimes. So these all verses emphasize on the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy and how it can benefit us immensely. And he further asks, out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? The answer he gives, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So, three more. Where should the living entity live abandoning all other places? Where should he live? So he should live in the holy place known as Vrindavan or Vrajbhumi, where the Lord performed his wonderful pastimes. And for us, what is Vrindavan? For us, a beautiful temple created by Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON, is our Vrindavan. Because here we can perform all these wonderful activities in the association of devotees. Mahaprabhu further asks, out of all topics people listen to, which is best for all living entities? Which is the best topic for all the living entities? Hearing about the wonderful pastimes between Radha and Krishna is the most pleasing to the ear. And finally, the last one, among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? And Ramananda Rai replies, the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we can see that in this particular pastime, by the death of Jarasan, there will be all auspiciousness all around. It will immensely benefit everyone. And finally we discuss about this conversation. What is the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy? So a devotee should try to become sargrahi, trying to focus on the essence. Not only that, he should try to act on it in a proper attitude. So that's why we emphasize on service attitude. Not only just service, but what kind of attitude we have while performing our services. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to end here. Grateful to you for your patient hearing. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hari Bol.